Be with us, Lord, for it is a dark day in our world. Dark times, Lord, as we fight against the powers of darkness. So many things tell us that you are dead. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to see you alive and victorious. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text comes from Luke 24, 31. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Just fascinated with the stories in Scripture. And of course, what makes them wonderful is that they point to Jesus, and not just good stories. Stories that have an eternal, ongoing impact. It changes people of all time and all places, regardless of who they are, where they've come from. You really have three scenes in the story. You have a road. You have a home, and you have Jerusalem. Interestingly enough, the story is a story of two disciples that are on the road to their own village home in Emmaus. One of them we get a name, Cleopas. The other one we don't get a name. But I'm not sure, but perhaps it's so that we would picture ourselves as that disciple. So today I'd like you to picture yourselves as that unnamed disciple with Cleopas, who's walking on the road back home. Walking with your friend, and you're downcast and you're in despair because your Messiah, your hope, has been crucified. You believe him to be dead. You believe him to be gone. Yes, your one Messiah, the one that you hoped would redeem your nation and bring you redemption, has been brutally crucified and condemned unjustly by your own religious leaders and chief priests. And yet, you're a little confused and perplexed because some woman had told you that the tomb is now empty. And sure, Messiah, supposedly, is alive. In fact, they even saw a vision of angels that told them this was so. Yet you decide to continue with your life and go back the way things were, and to go back home. You've heard the news, but you can't believe it. You believe that the glory of the Messiah was coming, but that the Messiah would suffer. It's too hard for you to grasp. And yet, as you're walking, you have a strange person comes up to you and starts walking with you. And he asks you what you're talking about. You can't help but wonder, really? Who is this person? Have they been living under a rock? Literally? Have they been just ignorant of everything that's gone on recently? Is this the only visitor to Jerusalem who hasn't heard about these things? About this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified and condemned to death? It happened in plain sight of everyone? How foolish this person must be. And I guess they'll talk to him about it, and so you tell him about what's happened. And he listens patiently. And then comes the first surprise. He calls you a fool. This foolish person is supposed to not know what's going on all of a sudden says that I'm a fool. And then he starts to go through the scriptures. Things that you would have known. Passages that you were acquainted with. But now that seems to take on fresh meaning. And you can feel your heart burn within you as he opens it to you. You hear passages such as Genesis 3:15, a promise of the Messiah to crush the head of the devil, even though his foot would be struck. You hear stories of Joseph in the book of Genesis, who his brothers thought was dead, but yet one day revealed himself to them during a meal. And how he didn't take revenge, but instead provided for them and brought them to a safe home. You hear stories about Abraham and how through this one man, over 2,000 years ago, all nations would be blessed through him, through his line, through one person that one day would come. And you hear stories of the Exodus and the Passover, how lambs that were spotless and without blemish were slaughtered so that when the angel of death came, it passed over the houses of the Israelites, but slaughtered the wicked Egyptians' firstborn sons. And you heard about how that festival was celebrated for generations and generations to come. You hear about the time of the kings, and the time of the King David was one of the greatest kings. That God promised to King David that his throne would endure forever and his line would be established and his kingdom would never end. It's one day a king would come to sit on the throne of David forever. You hear the wonderful stories about the mighty prophets of old, Elisha and Elijah, who even raised someone from the dead. And yet, they weren't the Messiah. Someone greater than them would come. Someone with even more power and authority and more righteous than they. You hear the story of how the Israelites failed to be the light of the world. You remember her ancestors, how they often rebelled against God and were sent into exile to Babylon. While their nation and temple was destroyed, and they were scattered. And yet how God promised one day to gather them all together and to return them through this Messiah. You remember how they were gathered with Ezra and Nehemiah and how the temple was rebuilt. How the presence of God didn't come, and how eagerly you had been waiting for the presence to return to the temple. And then you hear passages that you didn't expect to hear. Passages that you had overlooked. Passages of Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 that talk about how the Messiah would not only be a king and a redeemer, but a sufferer. And undergo brutal suffering. Not because he was evil, but because he came for those who were evil. He came to die and to suffer in their place. To redeem them, not with gold or silver, but with holy innocence. precious blood. And you ponder these things. You still don't get it. But you want to stay with this man who has drawn you in. And you ask him to stay with you because it's evening. The day is almost over. And even in the midst of your doubts that still remain, there is something that continues to draw you to him. His word captures your attention, speaks to you in a way that you've never been spoken to before. And he agrees to stay with you. And he comes with you to your home. And he stays with you for your meal. And he blesses the bread and he breaks it. And then comes the second surprise. Your eyes recognize him. He is Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the one you thought was dead. The stories and the rumors that you've heard are true. He's alive. Like the joy of recognizing a good friend that you haven't seen for years, that you thought was gone. And just as surely as you recognize him, he vanishes from your sight. But not before telling you to go and tell the others this wonderful news. So that very hour at nightfall, after you just walked 7 miles, you go back 7 miles. Because the news is too good to keep to yourself. And you return to Jerusalem, filled with enthusiasm, filled with joy. And you find the disciples, the 11, remain, and you tell them he is risen, just as he said. And how he, too, revealed himself to you. And yet, while you were telling this news to the disciples, a third surprise. Jesus appears to you once again, and he greets you with his peace. Peace be with you, he says. Your sin is forgiven. I have made you in a right relationship with me once again. See my hands? See the holes? See where they pierced my side? See that I eat food? And he ate a piece of fish before your eyes. You could see this wasn't just a ghost. This was a real live human being with flesh and blood, bones. And yet, changed, victorious. And he sends you out and proclaims to you this message of repentance and forgiveness and new life will be proclaimed from this day forward till the day he returns again. What is it in your life that is keeping you from recognizing Jesus? What does he need to do to get you to believe? how slow of heart we can be, how foolish to disregard the word plain before us. And yet, Jesus walks with us, continues to patiently be with us, and he continues to reveal himself to us and to open to us the scriptures that have the words of life, and to stay with us even when it's evening, even when it's dark, even when it's suffering, to explain to us that yes, he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, an innocent without sin, and yet he willingly went to suffering and death for our sake. And so that we too can see suffering not as that God has abandoned us, but that he continues to suffer through his church, so that other people will come to know him and come to see his love and believe the message that he's alive, and that no suffering, no sadness, no pain, no death can take that away. He brings us from our confusion to communion, revealing to us his presence, revealing it to us in the breaking of the bread, in the opening of the scriptures. He gives to us confirmation that he's alive. He brings our confusion to communion, to confirmation, finally to commission, sending us out to share this wonderful message we are privileged to hear. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.